إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، in every single khutbah we start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning the oneness of Allah and that He alone deserves to be worshipped, and by testifying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And then after that we mention these ayat that you just heard right now, these ayat from the Quran. We repeat them in every khutbah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what do these ayat tell us? And what's the connection between them? In the first of these ayat from Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah and do not die. Have the taqwa of Allah that He deserves, and do not die except as Muslims. In the second ayah from Surah An-Nisa, Allah addresses all of mankind. O people, O mankind, have the taqwa of your Lord, the one who created you from one soul, and from him his spouse, his wife, and from them too many men and women dispersed in the land. And then Allah repeats the command, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and have the taqwa of Allah. الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ, the one whom you appeal to for one another, and honor family ties. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا, for indeed Allah is well aware of what you do. And then the third ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah, and say only that which is right. If you do so, Allah will make your deeds good, and He will forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he indeed has won a true victory. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this in practically every single khutbah, whether it is these ayat or other similar ayat that mention the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why would he do this? Because the whole point of the khutbah is to remind the people, is to wake up the people, to remind them of being dutiful to Allah, to remind them of the fact that we're eventually headed to Allah, who will bring us to account for what we have done. And so there's no better way of doing that. There's nothing better to remind the people with, to admonish them with, other than reminding them to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, what is taqwa? And why is it so important? The word taqwa comes from ittaqa, or wiqaya, which means prevention. It means to prevent harm from reaching you, or to prevent something that you dislike from happening. And so, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he once asked Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an about at-taqwa. And in another narration, it is a man who came to Abu Huraira radiallahu an, who asked him, what is taqwa? So he said, Ubay ibn Ka'b, he said, have you ever gone down a path that was filled with thorns? So Umar radiallahu an, he said, yes. So Ubay asked him, and what did you do? He said, I would pick up my garments, and I would walk down that path very carefully, cautiously. And so Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu an, he said, that is a taqwa. That is the very essence of a taqwa. To basically take a shield or a barrier and place it between you and the wrath of Allah and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is by doing that which Allah has commanded and staying away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. Doing that which Allah has commanded in order to attain the pleasure of Allah, and staying away from that which Allah has forbidden out of fear of His punishment. And so when you do this, what does it result in? It results in a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It results in a consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart. And that's why many people translate at-taqwa to be the consciousness of Allah. And so where is this consciousness? It is in the heart. Which is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, at-taqwa hahuna. And he pointed to his heart three times. At-taqwa is here. This is where it stems from. This is where it begins. And so as long as the taqwa of Allah is alive and present in the heart, then the rest of your actions are going to fall in suit. The rest of your actions and your words and your stances and everything in your life is going to follow what is in the heart, because the heart is the command center. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there is a piece of flesh, there is an organ in the body. If it is upright, if it is rectified, then the rest of the limbs will be rectified. And if it is corrupt, if it is evil, then the rest of the body will be likewise. And then he said, "Ala wahi al-qalb." Indeed, it is the heart. And so when the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, when it is present, then when you go out, you're not going to look except at that which is pleasing to Allah. When the taqwa of Allah is there in the heart, you're only going to listen to that which is permissible for you to listen to. When the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there in the heart, you're only going to dress in the way that Allah has commanded you to dress. When the taqwa of Allah is present there in your heart, you're only going to say what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not that which Allah has forbidden. When the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present in the heart, you're going to make sure you don't have any relationship with anyone except that it is within the guidelines of Islam. When the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there present in the heart, you're going to make sure that your income is from halal sources and not from haram sources. When the taqwa of Allah is there in your heart, you're going to make sure that you don't enter into any transaction, no matter how small or big it is, except that it is free from riba and other haram types of transactions. When the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there alive in the heart, you're going to make sure that you do not slack off with the obligations that Allah has made mandatory upon you, starting with the five pillars, your salah, fasting, zakah, and so on and so forth. And so, it is for this reason that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would remind the people in his khutbahs, whether it was the Friday khutbah, whether it was the Eid khutbah, or whether it was any reminder that he would give to the people, he would start it by reminding them of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in doing so, he was following the prophets and the messengers before him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. We advised, Allah says, we advised those before you from among the people of the scripture and also you to have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is because as long as the taqwa of Allah is present in the hearts, then our lives will become rectified. Everything in our lives will become rectified as individuals and as societies and communities. We won't have all of the problems that we have. One of the main reasons why we have the problems we do, whether it be in our personal lives or as a community and as a society and as an ummah, is because the taqwa of Allah is absent. It is because the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absent. And as we said, that is a consciousness of Allah that stems from the heart. And so as long as everyone is conscious of Allah, they will fear Allah. They won't make a single move. They won't perform a single action. They won't say a single word that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they fear the punishment of Allah. And they have placed between themselves and that punishment a shield, a barrier. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وإخوانه وخلانه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في السر والنجوى. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us here, O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah. Have the taqwa of Allah and let each and every single soul examine, ask, what has he sent for his tomorrow, for his akhirah? And then Allah repeats the command, and have the taqwa of Allah, fear Allah, for indeed he is well aware of what you do. My dear brothers and sisters, in our lives, there are many things that we do to make sure that we are safe and secure from any harm, from any danger. We take all of these safety protocols and measures that we are told to take, and we should, without a doubt, in order to keep ourselves safe. To keep ourselves safe in this dunya. Ourselves, our families, our businesses, our wealth. And so, when we're on the road, we follow these traffic laws that are put in place to keep ourselves safe. When we're at the workplace, we have to follow certain safety protocols, no matter what kind of work you work at. When we're in the air, likewise, we have to follow certain safety measures. When we're swimming, we have to follow the safety guidelines. And as we all experienced just a few years back, when there's a pandemic, in order to keep ourselves safe from contagious viruses, there are certain safety protocols that we all have to take. And we do. And we take them seriously. But then why is it that when there is a danger ahead of us, and this danger is not something that is presumed to occur, but rather it is a danger that is inevitable. It is a danger that is coming. And that is the danger of the Akhirah and the punishment of Allah. Why is it that we don't take any safety measures to make sure we are protected from that danger? And so the very protection that we have been taught to take is by having the taqwa of Allah, as we explained. And so the reason why many of us slack off in having the taqwa of Allah is because of the heedless lives that we live. We are living lives of heedlessness, of ghafla. And this is for various reasons. But the main reason for that is our nafs and it being tempted and attracted to the dunya and satisfying its base human desires. On top of that, you have shaitan, our enemy, constantly distracting us, leading us to live a life of heedlessness. And so, it's not a matter of iman. We all believe. We all believe in the words of Allah. We all believe in the promise of Allah. His promise of Jannah for those who are obedient to Him. We all believe in the threat that Allah has given us of His punishment for those who are disobedient to Him. It's not a matter of knowledge, nor is it a matter of belief, but it is a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of consciousness. Are we going to pay attention and wake ourselves up from this heedless life that we're living? Or not? And so, for this reason, although the benefit of taqwa, having the taqwa of Allah, is that it will shield you from the punishment of Allah in the Akhirah, because of how important it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned countless of other benefits of having taqwa. As a gift for those who have the taqwa of Allah. Yes, it will protect you from the ultimate punishment of Allah. But besides that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned numerous, countless benefits of having His taqwa in our hearts. And so, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. If you have the taqwa of Allah, Allah will give you a criterion. You'll live your life being able to easily distinguish between right and wrong, between the truth and falsehood. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Have the taqwa of Allah and Allah will teach you. If you want knowledge, have the taqwa of Allah. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, and then he gives, he's generous, and he believes in the promise of Allah, then we will make his affairs easy for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his affairs easy for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from difficulties and he will provide for him from places he least expected. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوُوا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the people of the dwellings, the townships, those nations that Allah destroyed, Allah says, if they had believed and if they had the taqwa of Allah, we would have sent down provision for them from the skies and from the earth. And so these are only some of the benefits that are related to the dunya, related to your life on earth. And so if you find yourself in so many problems, then perhaps the reason is because the taqwa of Allah is missing in your life. And so these are only some of the benefits related to the dunya. How about the akhirah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah expiates all of his sins, and he magnifies, he increases his reward. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts, meaning good deeds, from the people of at-taqwa. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْدًا. On the day that the people of taqwa will be gathered to Allah, they will be brought to Allah in delegations, honored. Whereas the disbelievers, they are disgraced on that day, thrown in the hellfire. الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, the best of friends in the dunya, on that day, they will be worst enemies, except for the people of at-taqwa. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. On the day of judgment, all of us will be made to pass over the hellfire. Many will end up in the hellfire. Allah says here, on the day that we will save the people of at-taqwa, and then we will leave the wrongdoers there in the hellfire. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. And race, compete with one another for the forgiveness of your Lord and a Jannah that is as vast, as wide as the heavens and the earth. Who is this Jannah for? أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. It has been prepared. Allah does not say for the Muslims. Allah does not say for those who do good deeds. Allah does not even say for the believers. But He says for the muttaqoon, for the people of at-taqwa. تِلْكَ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي نُورِثُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا مَنْ كَانَ تَقِيًّا. That is Jannah, which we have caused the people of taqwa to inherit. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sums it up for us in one sentence. Let us reflect over this word, over these few words that Allah says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And have the taqwa of Allah so that perhaps you succeed, so that perhaps you are from among those who are successful, successful in this life, and more so successful in the akhirah. And so each and every single one of us needs to do a reality check and ask ourselves, where do we stand from the taqwa of Allah? Where is the taqwa of Allah in our lives? Where is it in our hearts? If we truly want all of these aforementioned benefits, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of at-taqwa. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم عجل بنصرهم يا قوي يا عزيز. اللهم كل إخواننا المسلمين المضطهدين في فلسطين، اللهم انصرهم على الصهاينة المعتدين. اللهم عليك بالصهاينة المعتدين والمحتلين، اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم دمرهم تدميرا، اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك. اللهم أنزل عليهم بأسك الذي لا يرد عن القوم المجرمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم تقبل شهداء إخواننا في غزة، اللهم تقبل شهداءهم وارحم ميتهم، اللهم وفك أسرهم وأطعم جائعهم وعاف مبتلاهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.